Holy Spirit of God, shine your light upon this word and into our hearts, so that we may be enlightened with fresh understanding. Amen. First scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
Our second scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3. "In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In Lent this year, we've been looking at some of the parables or stories with a meaning that Jesus told to explain to his disciples what the kingdom of God was like. We heard his story of the unforgiving servant who refused to forgive a debt even after the king had forgiven a much larger debt for him. We heard his story of the workers in the vineyard who were paid unfairly in a way that made sure that everyone had enough. This story that Jesus told has a surprise ending like many of the others, but this one is perhaps less comforting. The kingdom of God is like this. The king throws a great wedding banquet to celebrate the wedding of his son. Okay, we have to talk context here. Jesus and his disciples live in a time and place before global commercial trade. That is more than not being able to get strawberries out of season. That means that there's always a boom and a bust cycle in food. There's much more food available at some times of the year than at others. In the early springtime, for example, before the winter wheat has come in, food is scarce and portions are small for everybody. The harvest time, on the other hand, is a time of great happiness and feasting. This is when you know for sure that you'll have enough food to get through the winter. This is when you have weddings, so the food's available so you can celebrate with feasts. And a wedding banquet is the largest blowout party that can happen in this world. A proper wedding banquet lasts for multiple days. Perhaps even a week. If you remember the wedding at Cana, the whole hosting family would have been disgraced for years, even decades, if they'd run out of wine And that's why Jesus had to intervene. So the king is throwing a wedding banquet. This is not just the event of the season. This is the event of the year. Maybe even the event of several years. The red carpet is laid out. All the best people have gotten their invitations. But it gets time for the party. And all these important guests don't show up. It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. And not one of the people who are somebody has shown up. The king sends his servants to go get his guests. I mean, these servants are going, knocking on their doors, saying, "It's time to come to the party now." And these people say no. The king sends other servants saying, "Look, I've brought in a celebrity chef. The lobster and the prime rib are ready to go. The fine wines are flowing. Come, have a good time." The important people don't come. Worse, some of them don't ignore the servants. They murder them. The king is outraged. He sends his soldiers to wipe out those important people who thought they were important enough to kill the king's servants. Then he says to his servants, "The banquet's ready, but the people I invited were clearly not worthy of the party I prepared. I won't allow this to go to waste. Go out into the streets. Invite everybody you find." The servants look at each other, shrug, and go to work. They go out into the streets and they bring back to the banquet hall everyone they can find, from the rich woman whose extravagant shopping trip they interrupt, to the clerks who were serving her, to the homeless guy to whom they just say, "Hey, free food." The banquet hall is absolutely full of guests. The servants look at each other and nod. They've done what the king ordered. The hall is full of people to celebrate his son's wedding. He should be happy, right? The king comes out and he looks around the hall. It's full of people eating and drinking and having a good time. But then the king sees a guest who's refused to dress up for the party. I mean, the servants offered him nice clothes and he wouldn't take them. The king has this ungrateful guy thrown out. So what are we to make of this story? This story has been interpreted lots of ways over the years. But what are we supposed to make of it in the 21st century? Well, let me tell you. As Christians, we've all been invited to the banquet. We celebrate a preview of that banquet at this table. About once a month, maybe a little more. And celebrate is the right word. Each time we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper or communion, we're getting a foretaste, a preview of that wonderful banquet in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter whether we were the people who were originally invited. They didn't show up. We are the people whom the servants found when they went out and invited everybody they found. And that's okay. We're not only invited, we are welcome. And we are wanted. There's a world of difference between being invited and being welcome. And a world of difference between being merely welcome and people actually wanting you there. God knows the difference, and we are wanted. But there's being invited, and there's being welcome, and there's being wanted. And then there's belonging there. There are some expectations that come with accepting God's invitation. as I quoted Klein Snodgrass about forgiveness. The kingdom comes with limitless grace in the midst of an evil world. But with it comes limitless demand. There are some expectations that are required to belong. The first expectation is that we don't get to complain about who else was invited. God sent his servants out to invite people and told them to bring in everybody. That means no. None of us is really better than the other people who share God's table, and it wouldn't matter if we were. So, we might as well laugh and graciously share the table, even with people we think don't belong there, whoever that is. It doesn't matter if those other guests are different in their race, or their gender, or their sexuality. It doesn't matter if they're different in their education, or how much money they have, or their politics, or their theology. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. It was God who invited them. Not me and not you. The second expectation is that we will clothe ourselves with Christ, as Paul put it in his letter to the Galatians. A police officer puts on a uniform before he or she starts work, right? The last time you saw a police officer, the first thing you noticed was probably the uniform and not their face. That's deliberate, so that they can act not as an individual, but as their office of police officer. Your interaction with that police officer should be about the same, whether that police officer is male, female, old, young, black, white, Latinx, straight, gay, other. I too put on a uniform for work. You may have noticed. When I stand at the Lord's table and celebrate the sacrament, you are not really receiving the sacrament from Doug, the son of Jim and Jenny, the husband of Lisa, the father of Milo. You're not even really receiving the sacrament from your friend, Doug. I don't issue the invitations. You are receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, given by God, through a servant of God. It's the same sacrament you received here if you were here when Kim Trimboli was your pastor. And the same as when Colin Adams was pastor before that. It's the same sacrament you would receive from any other minister who stood behind this table. Like I said, I put on the uniform. In the same way, to be proper guests at the banquet, we need to put on Christ. Let other people who see you see kindness. Kindness to everyone, especially the people who don't have the power to do anything to you or anything for you. Because that's the only kind of kindness that really means anything. Let them see compassion. Compassion for people like yourself, sure. But also compassion for people who don't at first seem to be anything like you. Because deep down, you know that they too are children of God. Let them see love. Love not only for yourself, but for your neighbors and even your enemies. Jesus called on God to forgive the soldiers who were killing him and the people whose actions had led him to that spot, even while they were killing him. That's a lot of love. Live your life in such a way that this is what people see when they see you. That's how you put on Christ. That's how you belong at the banquet. You are invited. And you are welcome. And you are wanted. You are desperately wanted at the banquet. But this is how you belong. Whether you are somebody who would have been in the first batch of invitations or not. Thanks be to God. Amen.